We've lost 80% of our team.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. My name is Patrick Krenoyer, and this is a series of conversations that we have had with many people and organizations to help us understand how COVID-19 has impacted the world of work. In the last two episodes, we focused on tackling the challenges from the perspective of the employee and the manager. And today, we're going to focus on the challenges that senior leadership are facing, specifically CEOs and their executive teams. Our first guest is Rebecca Kelly, and Rebecca is the founder and CEO of VenueScanner.
So my name is Rebecca Kelly. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called VenueScanner. And VenueScanner is the UK's largest marketplace platform for booking any type of meeting or any type of event at any type of venue. So we work with 25,000 venues around the UK, and we have about 10,000 events that go through the platform each month.
Great. How has your working life changed over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, so obviously the first thing is that we've obviously gone fully remote. We actually did this pretty early in early March. So we prioritized, you know, keeping our team safe and healthy and at home. So have been doing the work from home for quite a while. Personally, I moved out to my parents' place to save on rent and cut some costs down for the business. So I've been out, feel lucky actually to be out in the countryside. So that's been nice. But yeah, we've adapted to working from home, what we would do on our kind of one day off, doing that consistently. I think the first week was fine. And then as the time's gone on, there's been like various nuances with working from home that I think like longer periods of time get more challenging. So for me personally, I found that actually being in front of a screen all day, a huge challenge, because actually a lot of my work has been in-person meetings and moving around and walking places. And I don't think I quite appreciated actually how little time I probably spent intensively looking at a screen. And then from that, moving to basically working kind of 16-hour days on video calls or looking at a screen, I found hugely challenging. And I think a few of the team have found that as well. So we've really tried to focus on like advising and structuring the team and the days around, okay, only work in front of the screen for like 90 minutes at a time and then go for a run or go outside and do something totally different, unrelated to work. Advice around kind of, yeah, like eating and keeping healthy, around like sleep and how to kind of make sure that you're getting enough activity during the day to get a good night's sleep. So there's all these types of things that we've been adapting to. I think one of the things that is, you know, the environment has been very challenging and very volatile, and see, we've had to make a lot of hard decisions, and from a people perspective, it's been tough. And I think that actually not having any human interaction during that and being able to kind of physically being close to each other has been probably, I think, one of the biggest and most challenging shifts that we've felt as a team.
Could you share with us some of the hardest decisions that you've had to make over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, so I think the two hardest, one relates to customers and one relates to the team. So the hardest around the team has been around the kind of redundancies and, you know, furlough, as we now call it, that sort of looking at what the business looks like or did look like a month ago and what that forecast was for the year, especially having, like I said, kind of recruited a team to establish that growth and then really kind of taking a cold look at what the reality actually is and making the decisions that kind of involve the team on that was definitely the hardest decisions that I've ever had to make in business so far. And I think, yeah, getting that as entrepreneurs or like founders, I think we're always really optimistic and all of our decisions are quite bullish usually. And it's been that one time that you've had to kind of sit back and actually be realistic. And that's been pretty tough. So we've lost 80% of our team now through this, but hopefully we'll be able to kind of revive when things improve. But our whole customer base is obviously venues and event organisers, and that sort of come to a complete halt since the government closed down venues. So the week preceding that to the second kind of challenging decision was around sort of how we behave and what we do with our customers during this time. And, you know, there's always this consideration where we were owed a significant amount of money from customers and also have a subscription model where venues pay monthly to be part of our platform. And we still had some business coming through. And so I sat there and really, really was torn between wanting to do everything to support our customers instinctively, but also knowing that our kind of business survival is based on that revenue. So the second toughest decision, I think, was deciding to give all of our venues free membership for the period, which we did a little bit before the full lockdown came. And the reason we did that is because we thought, like, ultimately, instinctively, I wanted to help our customer base, and they're in a, you know, more challenging position than we are, arguably, because they've got, you know, overheads and retail space costs that we don't have as a business. So we've sort of foregone any revenue for the 3-month period and then adjusted our costs according to that. But it's ended out in, we've created a workspace called Hospitality Heroes on Slack and introduced that to all our members. And we've got just short of 200 members on that now who are kind of talking to each other and supporting each other. So that's really felt like the right thing to do. And it feels like we're supporting the community at a time when that's most needed.
Rebecca, I love that concept of creating hospitality heroes to support your community and your customer base. I also very much feel for you just as a leader. These are tough decisions that you've had to make over these weeks, and I'm sure that they have not been easy. All of the CEOs that I've been speaking to have said the same thing. You know, they never really expected to have to lead through a situation like this. So as you've been working with your board to prepare for the future, what would you say are the points or decisions that have caused, you know, the most fear or worry for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, of course, none of us expected this. I don't think, hopefully no one will ever have to deal with it again. But I think, to be honest, a lot of kind of anxiety and uncertainty for me personally, I've probably felt around the government guidance. So I found that every time there was an announcement, like actually making sense of what it meant for us as a business. So, you know, firstly with kind of loans and grants, it, like whenever it's announced, it sounded like everyone's eligible and et cetera. But then when you look into it and, you know, when you second question, you're like, okay, what's the small print, et cetera. And I think having that, and same with the furlough scheme, I think having that, for me, that external pressure very publicly at a government level on business leaders and business owners on kind of what to do and making things easier. And then the reality of actually us all kind of scrambling around trying to figure out, like, what does this really mean? What do we have access to? What don't we? Like, how does it impact our cash flow? Can we really change our decision making based on these rules? So I think a lot of that has caused me a lot of stress. But they have been, like, it's amazing what's been put in place. I think it's just because of the grayness around it, you kind of know how to, I guess, run your own business and your own cash flow, and you can make decisive decisions based on the numbers you have in front of you. But if those numbers are suddenly gray or you don't know what they are, for me, that I find that quite difficult to then figure out what to do.
Understand that for sure. I love your candor, and I appreciate you being as transparent and open and honest. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks for having me.
We're going to introduce you now to another CEO, James Routledge. And James founded Sanctus in 2016 to help organizations with employee well-being.
Hey everyone, my name's James. I'm the founder and CEO of Sanctus. Our vision is to inspire people to work on their mental health like we do our physical health, so proactively. And right now we partner with organizations to create safe spaces for their employees to talk to someone about their mental health. And we do that both in person and also virtually as well.
What are some of the hardest decisions that you feel that you've had to make as a CEO or as a senior leader, and also as a people leader over the past couple of weeks?
I think initially, there was definitely a few weeks ago when the tide was turning and this outbreak was becoming more serious, when it was like, do we act now, basically? Mm-hmm. And we made the decision to act before it was imposed. And that was a big call, you know, like I said, considering all of our service was delivered in person, to make a call before we necessarily, quote unquote, had to, was a big decision, because it really does impact our actual product, mm-hmm. you know. So that was a big call to do that in 72 hours. And I think that what helped me make that call is just all the advice I got from my network, from other founders and investors, was that I remember it was like, I can't remember it was a quote directly, but this is how I remember it, was that nobody regrets quick and decisive action, even if it's kind of not necessarily the best call. So I think us making that call quickly was received really well with all of our stakeholders. People were really grateful that we'd actually made a decision for them, because I think within this, there's a lot, if any decision has become really difficult. It's like, oh, should I go outside and get my shop in? Like, can I travel here? You know, so I think to just take leadership and make quick decisions, that's been hard, but really important. The second hardest thing, which again was incredibly rewarding, was I shared a completely transparent financial picture with our whole team. So across like sort of 40, 50 people. And I just shared our best case, our worst case. I said, look, you know, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. If we start to lose some of our customers because they got a business or they're looking to survive, then these are the steps we'll take. Here's the changes we've made already, and here's what we're seeing as a potential best case. And I did that as transparently as possible. You know, it is what it is. And yeah, again, that was hard to do, yet it was received really well by all of our employees and all of our coaches, because again, it just said it how it is, and we were honest with people, and people really responded well to that and respected it.
James, I completely agree with you with the approach to transparency. We definitely see that the more transparent organizations are, in particular with organizational level insights, is incredibly valuable to employees. It not only creates a calmness, but also employees find it to be quite settling, in particular during a time when everything is just so unsure.
And we got a really good, one of our team sent back a really great email that I was really pleased about it after I sent that, which was, she said something like, I'm always amazed at how comforted I feel knowing the full picture as opposed to feeling concerned. And yeah, I thought that was testament to what kind of that level of transparency can do for your employees, because they know something's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a team of incredibly smart, hardworking, dedicated people that watch the news every night that know there are big macroeconomic like shifts going on. So to not say anything is way worse than saying something, in my opinion.
So you mentioned a tough point for you in the process was making that decision before there was the expectation to make a decision.
Yeah.
What other points during the past couple of weeks were you most uncertain or scared? I mean, we all have had those moments over the past couple of weeks where fear has come into our lives. So what other points were you most uncertain about?
You know what? To be honest with you, I must admit throughout this whole thing, I personally felt quite well resourced and quite well supported. So I've not had many major wobbles. I suppose I've found myself most concerned and worried about our team and our employees and their working situations or their living situation and just their general well-being and their welfare. And then I've felt anxious around the potential economic knock-on impacts of obviously our customers. You know, we can control the quality of our products. We can control the quality of our sales and account management and customer service. I cannot control if, you know, a customer of ours, their biggest customer is in the hospitality industry, they lose that customer, you know, all of those different knock-on impacts, we cannot control those. So I've been holding some anxiety around just the kind of the impossibility of controlling some of the knock-on economic impacts. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, I wouldn't say that's, it's not kept me up at night too much. Yeah, of course, I'm kind of holding that and being kind of well entrenched into the startup community. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing friends and other founders having to make really tough decisions, you know, and having to lay people off, to furlough people. And that's tough to see. It's sad, basically. Yeah. It's sad to see people's hard work kind of hurt or impacted, or maybe people's hopes for what they dreamed 2020 might look like to radically change. But I must admit, other than that, I think I'm holding quite like a bullish position that, you know, kind of strong teams, companies with a valuable product kind of will get through this. Mm-hmm. And it does seem to just be kind of accelerating success or failure in a way for many companies.
Yes. So James, as we wrap up, what are some specific pieces of advice that you can share with other CEOs?
The most powerful thing I've seen from a leadership perspective has certainly been around transparency and communication. Like my sort of, I suppose the tact I'm using with communication right now is little and often, is to try and communicate regularly without sending like one massive email every 3 weeks or every 2 weeks. So to just try and communicate quite consistently. So I'm sending like one update at least a week of just to kind of, yeah, this is where the business is at. This is what our priority is. This is what we're focusing on, just as like a pulse. And then obviously I'm making an extra effort to be present and to be available in our team meetings, in our all hands. So I think that sort of that availability, that presence, communication and being transparent is super important right now for anyone in a leadership position. And I think the power of saying, I don't know, or the power of saying like, you know, yeah, I'm a bit worried too. And that is really hard right now. And it's easy for me to say that because we're in an okay position, but people can smell kind of dishonesty and if you're hiding something a mile off. So I just think it's better to just say it how it is, no matter how hard it is. Because right now, people's true colors are really coming out. And, you know, I think a lot of employees are seeing how their employers are responding. And it's a real test of their character. And no matter what happens in the next 3 or 6 months, you know, if as a leader or as an employer, you respond by sort of hiding the truth or not saying it how it is, you know, people are really going to see that and remember it. So how you respond right now as a leader will be what your employees remember for the next couple of years, probably, because this is probably one of the biggest things that's happened to anyone's company in the last 3-4 years, I would say. And then secondly, I think for leaders, and this is a kind of not an obvious one, but a very important one, is for leaders to look after their own, themselves and their own mental health. You know, you can't support others if you're not supporting yourself. So I think whatever it is, obviously everyone's different. They've got their own routines, what works for them, whether it's coaching, therapy, which you can do both online, whether it's just having a really like sweet structure throughout the day and a good morning routine and a good night routine, journaling, meditation, yoga, whatever it might be, connecting, sharing with other founders. I just think that's so important right now, because I think it's fair to say that every leader and probably also every HR team is really feeling it at the moment. So to support yourself and to kind of keep yourself well-resourced and well-energized is really important so that you can kind of be there for your team.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And that brings us to the end of this series of conversations. But before we go, I would just like to highlight 2 points. The first from Joy and the importance of embracing remote work, but also to learn more about the individual lives of each members of our team. And the second from James and the focus that we need to have on our mental well-being. Thank you to everybody that participated in these conversations. We very much believe that work should work for everyone, and the insights provided will help us build for that future. So thank you for spending time with us. Thank you.